We're going to start over in Romans. Let's see, chapter 8. We'll start in chapter 8, verse 11. I'm going to get to Ephesians, but I want to just paint a picture first with a few verses. But if the Spirit, verse 11, chapter 8 of Romans, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, we've been talking a lot about the different parts of who we are, and it's not important to know all this stuff to grow, to mature. I learned a long time ago, I had a guy that I listened to a lot who really preached faith strong. Preached faith, a confession, preached speaking the word. And do you know that he had multitudes of people receive their miracle by practicing what he taught them, how to confess the word, how to speak the word? But then he would say something like, now when you speak the word, you have to bother God. By speaking the word, you're bothering God to get him to give a miracle. If you don't bother him, he won't pay attention to you. Now, but he had all these miracles, and so I finally figured out, okay, he learned the principles of faith, but really didn't understand how it worked, the technical reasons of how it worked. But the principles still work, even if he was confused with how it worked. And we've learned that confessions change us. They don't change God. Amen. And the reason we speak the word isn't to get God to do something he already did. It's to talk us into receiving and believing what he says is true. So a lot of what I'm teaching isn't necessary if you practice the principles of praying in the Holy Ghost, of worship and meditating the word and fasting. So a lot of what I've been teaching lately isn't so important that if you don't know this, it's not going to work. This is just the technical part to try to help us understand how things work and why it is so important. When you understand that there's a part of you, when you're born again, that was actually birthed. There's a part of you when you're born again that is like a child, an infant that must grow and mature. If you don't realize what parts it is, you can get confused. But when you do realize who you really are, see, the most powerful thing you can learn, or I have learned through this, is I can have struggles or imperfections or strongholds or insecurities in my flesh, but be righteous in my spirit, man. Meaning this, that I could wake up every morning and be at peace with God and go to sleep every night being at peace with God, even though I'm battling, struggling, working on overcoming the parts of my flesh that were not changed when I was born again. So some of the answers we're going to talk about today is how and why do we have to get rid of things? I was born again. Why do I still struggle with things? Why am I still battling with things? Why is there leftover, and how is there leftover strongholds, imperfections, and things in my life? I'm such a failure, because look at you. You got saved and you're perfect. And here I am still battling. As a church, what has happened with a lot of believers is they begin to hide their problems from one another. You can't hide them from yourself. You really can't hide them from God, but we try to trick God. When we start hiding our problems from one another because we feel that it exposes us as not being perfect or not being strong, then we also approach God in the same manner of, God, I'm sheepishly or I'm timidly coming into your presence because I'm struggling with this area, but maybe you will still love me. But we understand where the stronghold lies and why it lies there. It helps you to know that even while you're battling that, you can run boldly into his presence. You can worship him freely and without guilt, without shame, freely while you're battling all kinds of garbage. Now, how much garbage is there? Listen. I don't want to expose you as not being perfect. But it's all garbage. See, the trickery of religion is it gives honor to the flesh pretending to be holy, where all flesh is not of God. Even the good-looking flesh is as bad as the bad flesh. So when we draw a line and say, this is what a holy Christian looks like, many people can meet that line, and this is why a lot of churches, I call them clubs, they preach a standard of living. If you can make this much money, live this lifestyle, you don't yell at your kids too much, don't fight with your wife too much, don't cheat on your taxes too much, and you live at this standard, come to church, then you get a thumbs up. You feel good about yourself, and we give you some good works to do on the side to make you feel productive, and you live your whole life in that manner of form of religion. But there's no power. And see, the power is what exposes us of being lacking. Let me say this way. The lack of power, the lack of love, the lack of holiness, the lack of sound doctrine exposes us of being lacking, not being where we can actually walk as believers. So there's many churches where they have a line drawn that says if you are above this line, you're good. If you're below this line, which we call dysfunctional, then you're a failure. Now, the ones who in the natural have had decent lives or whatever, good choices, you know, and they live above that line, they feel comfortable in that church. But the ones who are below that line, they feel uncomfortable all the time. They would say something to you like, look, I've tried to quit this. I've tried to stop it 100 times, 1,000 times. I'm just too dysfunctional. So I guess I don't belong in church. And so they finally give up on church, on God, on their call, and they go to the wasteland. And their call is just as important as yours. Do you know how many people are not fulfilling their calling? Because they try in their flesh. So Romans 8, as we dissect who you are, you discover that you have a body that is of this earth, that's going to stay on this earth, and will be quickened in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this old body, when the trumpet sounds, the whole body of Christ will receive a new body. Either if they're in heaven or if they're on this earth, in a moment, we will have a new body. If you're still wearing this old body, it's going to be transformed. It's going to be quickened instantly, no more problems, with no more fight. But it was part of you, this body that you're wearing, that was not changed when you were born again. Amen? So what was changed? We know we received a new nature, a new nature. We received it. It is our source of love. It's where we get our fruit from. It's the source of who we are. It tells us the moment you're saved, you have a voice that begins to tell you, this is what you do. But the inward body, we also know, is our spirit, our inward body. Inward body is the spiritual body that every person has. Every person born has a spiritual body and a natural body. They're twins. They're conjoined. They're joined to every cell. Every cell, they're joined in your brain, in your hands, in your fingers, in your toes. You have an inward body and an outward body. But the inward body was deconstructed at salvation. Now it can be renewed and rebuilt with knowledge and truth that comes from a nature of life, a nature inside of you. A nature of life now can teach your inward body who it really is, who you really are. Now, you're in there too, but you have a body, you have a nature, just like you have a hand. You have a hand. Look at your fingers. Say, I have fingers. Now my father was born with no fingers on his left hand. But he's not his fingers. He didn't have fingers, but he's still the same man. So even if a horrible accident happens and you lose your fingers, you're still there. See, you have these things. You are unique in this picture. Incredibly, somehow, God figured out a legal way to transfer you and give you a new spirit, a new nature. Amazingly, to actually take you out of one species called the human race, and eventually get you completely over to a new species called the children of God. Unbelievable. Legally allowed to receive and inherit all of heaven, all of God, and we'll be stomping around a new earth with a new universe and new heavens one day and be his child forever in a new body. But until the trumpet sounds and you're on this earth, you have this old, worn out, meathead body that will fight you. The reason it's fighting you is because it has plans for you. It has emotions for you, ideas for you that aren't of God. But if you don't know the difference, you'll think that that's who you are. Verse 10, Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, now I want you to see this word spirit here means your inward body. The inward body is life because of righteousness. See, the new nature is mentioned here as the word righteousness. Because of that righteousness now, your spirit man became alive. You didn't receive a new inward body. It was deconstructed is the best way I can describe it. And for the first time ever, it breathed life from a nature of life. Up to that point, your spiritual body, your spiritual mind, received breath of darkness from the nature of darkness. It learned the art of darkness from the nature that was in it. But when God replaced your nature with his nature, your inner body breathed life for the first time. Like a little baby, for the first time birthed, born, pulled life out of that new nature, and for the first time received life. So that is why it is deconstructed in the sense that it now has to be renewed. So anytime you see the word renewed, it's not talking about renewing this natural body. It's talking about rebuilding the spiritual body, the knowledge of the spiritual body, because now you have a source to learn who you are that's life and light. The Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, a trained preacher in the Word, he knew the first five books at the age of 12, had it memorized. What we call the Word of God, he had it memorized. But he called all that useless because it was all contained in a natural mind, and he had to rebuild this revelation of who he was from his spiritual mind. Now, we call it revelation when we go, I got it. You're praying for $1,000 to, you think you're going to die, and all of a sudden God plants $1,000 in your hand. Wow, I believed. We call it believing. I believed and I received. And you spend all that time confessing and standing for something, and all of a sudden you received it. Well, we can call it believing, receiving, or a revelation, but Scripture will call that mortification. That your spiritual mind made the natural mind bow its knee to a truth, and you took a sword and you stabbed to death the source of that thing in you that tries to tell you you're not worthy. When you strip the flesh off of you, we don't want any of that to happen to anyone yet. We want you to be on this planet to affect the people for a while. But when that flesh drops off of you, how many know there's no such thing as unbelief? When you're in heaven, when God says, I will provide for you, and your feet are on, well, streets of gold really aren't in heaven. They're in the new earth, but let's just talk tradition. Your feet are on gold bricks on as you're walking around the heaven, and all the big mansions are there, as they say. Again, I'm just talking tradition now, so I don't confuse people. And he says, I'll provide for you. You don't go, no, you won't. No, you won't. You won't be here. I'm such a loser. There'll be none of that in you. Why? Because the source of unbelief, the source of bad belief, wrong belief, is all in your natural brain. And that will be at the funeral they're having for you. You have in you everything you need to believe God for the miracles and for whatever you go through. But just because you're battling the opposing thought, the opposing doctrine, doesn't mean you failed. It just means you have a fight. But it's okay to have a fight. Thank God you know you have to fight, because there's a lot of teaching going around that says quit fighting. Quit fighting your flesh. There's a message within, I don't like to keep beating up on the grace message because it's what changed me at a season when religion was grasping me. The right grace message. But it can go to a place to where the flesh wants to squeeze in there and say, it's for me too. It's for me too. No, God doesn't want grace for your flesh. It keeps trying to get you to take it into worship, take it into God's presence, and God wants you to leave that sucker outside of the door. Do you understand? We have whole ministries, worldwide ministries, built around introducing God to your flesh. And your flesh will reward you. You bring it into God's presence, your flesh will reward you with peace and joy and happiness, and it'll be your best buddy. Because you gave it what it wants, a pathway into God. But God is not the father of our flesh. He's the father of our spirit. He's the father of our spiritual man. So your flesh is laying there. And when you hold it away from God and say, no, I'm trying to kill you. I'm not going to bring you into God's presence. I'm trying to kill you. Look at me, sucker. I'm trying to kill you. Your flesh will fight you every step of the way, every inch. It will complain. It will negotiate. It will give you feelings of anger, of depression, of unworthiness. It will try to prove you and force you to do its bidding. That's the power of the flesh. Are you still with me? So our spiritual man was brought to life while our flesh was left rotting on our body, our spiritual body. Now, I'm just going to go here quickly. I have a few props I want to get to today. We're going to go to verse 11, chapter 13. And do this knowing the time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off. Say, cast off. Cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on. Say, put on. So we have to cast off something and put on what? The armor of light. Now look at this. Where does this armor come from? One of the words for your new nature is always light. Remember when they first learned to put on the armor of God? What would we do? Every morning we get up and confess, I am put on the armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And you put it on every morning. But here it tells us where the source of that armor comes from. In Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. But here it's called the armor of light. Why? It's the same thing. It comes, but here's a glimpse of where you can get that armor from. We've learned in Ephesians that the armor he's talking about is holiness. Holiness, if you want to have a breastplate on, then you better act righteous. You want to have a helmet on to protect your mind, you need to get saved first. The helmet of salvation. Salvation gives you the power to rule over your natural mind. Before salvation, it didn't matter how good you were, nothing worked. You were still a sinner. You might have been a good sinner, or you might have been a good sinner, you know. But either way, still a sinner. But you're born again. Now you are no longer condemned to be the person that you were before you were saved. Now you have what it takes to walk out of whatever your struggle is. So first point, Quit looking at the person across the aisle and thinking they got a better road than you do. Because flesh is flesh. And it doesn't matter what source you're fighting, it's still a hard fight for everybody. It's when you quit fighting that you're in trouble. So we put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, verse 13, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and not in lewdness, and just not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go over to Ephesians and let's begin to look at the picture we're trying to paint. I want you to see yourself as a spiritual man at all times. I'm a spiritual creature. I'm wearing an ugly flesh that I have to fight with. You're never in danger to fight with your flesh. It doesn't matter how much you fight with it, as long as you're fighting with it. It's when you embrace your flesh. We now have a whole church organizations accepting people into leadership who live alternative lifestyles in some form or manner because they call it the love of God. But really, they're condemning those people to hell. Because if the moment you embrace a part of your flesh is who you are, the flesh is trying to find a way to God through religion. Your flesh knows God through religion. It can comprehend God through religion. You used to be like that till you prayed enough that you didn't fit into many churches because all of a sudden your spiritual man began to grow up enough that you didn't accept religion as being okay. Religion is where your flesh hides. So over in Ephesians, let's start in chapter 4. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about what every wind of doctrine of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Simple here is we all have to grow up so that the body can act normal for Christ. We're all part of a body, but all the parts have to grow. You individually have to grow. I individually have to grow so that as a body, we can accomplish what God has planned for us as a body. I say then, I want you to notice that this is the same writer that wrote Romans. I want you to notice the similarities. He's just talking to a different crowd. One is to the Jews in Rome, and one is to the Gentiles in Ephesians. But he's saying the similar thing. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, and who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. It's not the same word as cast away, but it's the same meaning. Put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you see the word renewed, I want you to think about building. Why is it renewed? Because God didn't give you a new spiritual body. He allowed it all. When the darkness nature left, all the dark forces, all the dark influence of that spiritual body left with it. Now you have life beginning to teach your spiritual body. Your spiritual man can understand God and life. Your spiritual man completely understands God as a father, but your body will never understand God as a father. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, say put on, the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, put on the new man. So he says, put off the old man, why do you have to put it off? I thought you were saved. Don't you know you were saved? You got it all instantly? Just walk in it. But see, the imagery that is painted through the New Testament is you start off being born again, born again, born. How many have ever seen a newborn baby? They're little, they're innocent, they're helpless. They need to be nursed. See, when we say the work, the milk of the word, in Scripture, when it says that newborn, you need the milk of the word, it's not meaning like a glass of milk, of cow's milk that we're used to here in America. It's talking about nursing from your mother. It's talking about receiving from someone else. And so as newborn babes, you need to allow yourself to be nursed, to be fed by someone, whether it be cassette tape or messages offline. We don't do cassette tapes anymore. But messages offline, 8-track tapes, or you know, whatever you got, nurse off that sucker. Get some nutrients in you. All through the New Testament, you see children tossed to and fro. Why am I being tossed to and fro? Why am I double-minded? I got one mind telling me one thing and another mind telling me this. God, one moment I listen to my spiritual mind. He says, God loves you. You can do this. And the next minute I hear, loser, failure, look at you. What's wrong with me? I'm not called. You're called. I'm not called. Double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Why? Because you're in a battle the moment you're saved. And your flesh is trying to get you. And religion is very happy to allow you to stay a child, a newborn, an infant in your spiritual man, and allow the flesh to run around in religion activities, feeling safe. Still going to heaven, but you're going to miss out. The moment, though, we embrace our flesh as who we are, we begin a path where we've lost our power to fight something we've says that we say, this is who I am. And that's when you begin on a pathway to walk away from God. Now, just because you have a fight in you for something doesn't mean it's who you are. It's only when you accept it as who you are. Let me be clear. Just because you're battling something. See, it's a holdover from your born-again experience. We all know it. I'm just trying to give the technical reasons for it. You knelt down at the altar, had a great experience. Oh, I was born again. Hallelujah. Such a great experience. I feel a new person. You're smiling. And then a few weeks later, you're like, wait, what is this? I thought I got rid of that. And there's your flesh rising up to tell you. And you start fighting. How many know what that, you know, had that testimony? I got saved except for this part of me, you know. And this is what I'm trying to explain. Why is it that things are left and why are things cut off instantly? Why is there sometimes years of struggle to mortify parts of our flesh? So we're going to give that as an example. I have Rachel here. She'll help me. Let me give an example with Sean. Will you come? And let's have Sam. Do you mind coming up? And Joe, I'll need you too. Let's make... Sean, you're going to need the big scissors there for me. Harrison, hand them to him. And Joe, go stand on stage. And Sam, stand on stage. Okay, have a seat for a second. Now, here's our two bodies. This is what I want you to see. Here's your two bodies. So this is what you have. This is not you. Just like you have a hand, you have a spiritual body and a natural body. Are you still with me? So... Sean, you're going to be me today. So put that, give us a Harrison for a second. Go ahead and stand behind your two bodies. Yeah, just stand there and face the crowd and smile pretty. Now see, you have these two bodies. Now before you were saved, you had a spiritual body. You two go stand real close together so the camera can see, right? For those who are listening, I've got the two good-looking guys standing right beside each other with one man, Sean, behind them. Sean is playing you, the person. Now, you have an inner body. Wave at me, inner body. For those listening, Sam is giving a nice wave to you. And you have an outward body, okay? Your inner body was dark because you also had a nature of darkness. The nature of darkness taught you how to be dark. But you got born again. Hallelujah. Born of Him. Saved of Jesus. Now, what happened? The new nature came in, replaced the old nature. Your inner body, which is a conjoined twin with the outward body, the spiritual part of you, was deconstructed. So, Sam wants you to just deconstruct. Okay? He is now kneeling down. But the imagery in Scripture is you become childlike and newborn. See, what part of you has to grow? What part of you feeds off the Word of God? What part of you is instructed when you pray in tongues? It is your spiritual body. Your flesh, your natural mind is left out of the picture. Say amen if you're still with me. So here you are, and you have, let's look at Sam. Sam's kneeling down for imagery's sake, but really look at him like a little baby. Okay? Here you are. Now, Rachel, will you come and will you dress the flesh, the outward body, in his attributes? Now, here are the attributes of the natural body. It is a rope going around Joe's neck, and it has boxes tied to that rope called self-preservation, independence, anger, lust, jealousy, drugs, smoking, drunkenness. One of the most powerful places your flesh will fight for is the power to take care of itself. And one of the places it's going to love and reward you with is if you give it the power to lead your life, the power to take care of itself. If you look around and see people with a lot of abundance, they strut, some of them, because they are okay. They got enough. They don't have to worry about their finances. But yet the spiritual man wants you to lean on the Father for everything. Even if you have an abundance, he wants you still leaning on God. But the flesh will fight you because it doesn't want to trust anybody. It wants to be in charge because then it feels safe when it is independent. Anger, lust, jealousy, drugs, smoking, drunkenness. Well, you may just said, you didn't mention mine. I can make a list of 1,000 boxes and still not get to yours. But I want you to notice these boxes of the flesh are good and bad. This is just the little things on the top that you're looking at. So let's say this is who you are before you're saved. You get born again, your spiritual man becomes like a child. So when you look at Sam, for those listening, I got one guy on your left standing strong, arms crossed, bold, and I got another guy standing on your right beside him like a baby, just a little, but just born again. And you are standing behind the two bodies. Amen? You still with me?
Amen.
So before you were saved, you had all this. This was normal. You and your buddies were all the same. You ever walk through the mall and you see one guy walk by with his hat backwards and the next five guys with him have their hats backwards? Because they're partiers, they're partners. They do everything together. Not that wearing your hat backwards makes you a partier, but I'm just saying that birds of a feather flock together. And so here you are. You get saved. Now look, Harrison, go up and cut off anger. I think there's a place to cut it, but just try to find it. Cut off anger, the big box there. Now, this is salvation, okay? So these things come off quick. Like you knelt down. I knelt down to get saved. And cut off smoking too. Let's get rid of smoking. Don't cut Joe, please. So I want you to imagine, these things just fell off when he knelt down at the altar. I knelt down at the altar, and I stood up, and I didn't have the desire to smoke anymore. I didn't have anger issues anymore. Why? Because that was worldliness. That's what it was. It was just worldliness. It just fell off you. See, it just fell off. You didn't need to be delivered. You didn't need to pray. It just left. How many had things that just left when you were born again? But these other things that you're stuck with that carry over after salvation that lie in your flesh, they're tied to your natural soul. Your natural soul needs those things, is touched, is blessed, is encouraged by those things, is strengthened by those things. So it drives you and pushes you. And so when you are young and you're curious about things, what would it be like to do this? What it would be like to do that? It's just a curiosity, okay? But the moment you partake of something, it now becomes an appetite of your flesh. And now some of it is because you chose to partake. Some of it is your personality desires certain things. Some of it is damage done to you by other people. Creates an appetite of the soul, of the natural soul that wants things, that pushes you for things. Is that a good explanation? This is the part of your soul that needs to be mortified. It wasn't cut off at salvation. Now, let me see here. So here you are. You're a little child. Now, if we can do this right, I'd have a little young child standing where Sam is. But Sam, you doing okay? Stay right there. Stay young. Sam is showing you. Can you see them okay on the camera? Okay. Sam is showing you the infant side. Now, this is where you got to understand. When you're born again, and some preacher says, just walk in who you are. The problem with that is they don't understand that your nature that you got from God is complete, but there's a part of you, your spiritual body, is like an infant. So if you go and walk in who you are, you will be trained quickly by your flesh, the overpowering of your flesh, how to know God through religion. You may hear someone say, I am identifying with my spirit. That's a good truth. I can identify with my new nature. I know that God's word tells me who I am. But to walk in that, I must mature to what the new nature tells me it is. When a little puppy is born, everything it got from its parents is already contained in its nature. Do you know that puppy will eat different kinds of food, will always come up with the same colored hair? It doesn't change its hair. I got two dogs, they eat the same dog food, they both end up with different hair. One is skinny and loud and barks like crazy. The other one's fat and sweet, barks like crazy. But one will bite you, the other one will just lick you. And no matter what we feed them, they got a nature from their parents. They don't keep getting information from their parents. All teaching after salvation comes from an outward teacher, the Holy Ghost. The new nature doesn't receive more of God after you're saved. It is complete. It is a teacher of who you are. So you feed yourself the Word of God, the new nature begins to tell you who you are. So just because you can read who you are doesn't mean you're walking in who you are. I'll say that again. Just because you can read who you are, it doesn't mean you're walking in who you are. And that's proof for you to say, I'm not a failure because I'm not walking in everything God says I am yet. And it's proof to say, there's hope. That's why the word of God is hope for you to say, I'm not condemned to be this dirty, rotten scoundrel that keeps trying to tell me I am. I am who the Bible says I am. But if you don't spend time meditating the word, praying in the Holy Ghost, that spiritual man will stay like an infant your whole life in knowledge, in wisdom. But you don't have to stay there. Are you still with me? So, Ephesians, let's read this again. Chapter 4. So, Sean is standing behind the two bodies. Now, we're going to see the process that you understand. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. See, do you understand that you can be born again and walk around in the vanity of your mind, your natural thinking? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of the heart. So you can act like the world while you're saved. Live out of the same source of wisdom, the same source of knowledge, and never face down your flesh. In fact, there's lots of preachers who will teach you how to live abundantly in your flesh and have a happy time on this earth. But once you start to realize I have an eternity in heaven, you start to live for heaven instead of living for pleasures on this earth. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanness with greediness. but you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So here we hear the word put off. So it means you're still wearing that old man, not the nature, the leftovers, the flesh. You got to put him off. You have to cast him off. You have to mortify him. So grab those scissors for me and go give them to Sean. And Rachel, will you please grab that rope and go put it around Sam's neck. So Sean, who is representing you, stand behind the two bodies, a baby Sam and a full-grown flesh creature called Joe. And Joe's wearing all the boxes still that he is struggling with. Why is he struggling with this? Because worldliness fell off when he was saved. But now these things that he has that he fights with, probably on a day-to-day basis, are feeding his natural soul self-worth, feeding him something, pleasure, feeding him something. And so the soul refuses to let go of those because it needs it to feel good about itself. But the Bible says you don't have to live by that. You can mortify it. So here's your job. Put off the old man there, Sean. So now he goes and he tries to cut off self-preservation. But he has a hard time. Work with me on this one. So he's trying. I try. Why is it so hard? Because your soul is refusing to let go of it. It says, no, I need that. I need to take care of myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, do you understand the whole world is built around systems of how you can take care of yourself? You know why? Because it's true. If you don't take care of yourself, no one else will. But you're not of this world, my brothers and sisters. You're of a heavenly realm with a Father. So you have a Father who will take care of you if you allow him to. How many Christians live their whole life and never experience? You know, you're in a fight for provision. Many of you are in a fight for provision. But thank God you're in a fight for provision because you're learning how to trust God. Amen. And He knows exactly how much water that tree outside your front yard will drink today. He knows exactly that much. He knows how much your electrical bill. I've always kind of wondered when people say, I'm confessing for $39.99 for to pay my electrical bill this month or whatever, or $399, whatever it is. I'm like, why are you confessing that? It might be $499. You know, but your Father knows. Confess that your Father will take care of you. Because he knows exactly what you need, how much gas money you'll need. He knows how much electrical power you'll use in your house. He knows, and he wants to show you, I am very capable of providing for you. Doesn't mean you quit your job and say, provide for me then. He may provide through your job. Most likely that's how he does it. But the worry and the care of this life is what he's telling you to let go of. So you fight with self-provision and I can't cut it. I'm trying to cut it off. But he tells you something else to put on. Put on. See that? Put on what? Put on the new man. So what does he do? Okay, let's put down the scissors for a minute. Let's get rid of jealousy. You finally wrestle with jealousy. That's a box down there. So let's cut it. It takes you a year, but you get rid of that sucker. But you fight it the whole way. You finally get rid of it. You cut it off. It is a fight, see. Keep fighting it. Don't stop. Don't give up. I'm just a loser. And you come to church and say, don't give up. Keep fighting. Because you're not condemned to be jealous your whole life. The new nature sets you free. All of a sudden something happens and you choose not to be jealous. And you find, hey, I was able to let that go. See, mortifying something is different than wrestling with something. Now, you may have to wrestle with something for a long time until you get to a place to mortify it. But he says here to put on the new man. So what I want you to do, Sean, is put those big scissors down, reach into the new nature. For those listening by audio, on the side of the stage, you have a big box, a white box that says new nature. This is where you get the armor of light. You reach into that new nature and you find a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians talks about the same process. So reach in there, grab a fruit. Any fruit will be good. Oh, he picks the good one. He pulls out love from the new nature. So I'm going to put on the attribute of love. It's a fruit that grows. How do I put it on? I put it on my spiritual body. Because the natural body cannot understand the love of God. So go ahead and tie it on. So you put on love. You put on the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, meekness. And then you grow a little bit. You mature a little bit. So now as a new nature, from the new nature, you grab these attributes, begin to put them on. I could have someone play the Holy Ghost to come and help you to do this. But that's the Holy Ghost's job. He teaches you, your spiritual mind, spiritual man, the deep knowledge, wisdom of God over and over and over. And you and I begin to mature in this spiritual man. Say amen if you're still with me. So this is the process we're talking about. Putting on, he puts on love. That took a lot of work, usually. Why does it take so much work? Because you're growing. You're growing. It takes time to grow. And growing is more than a choice. It is multitudes of choices to feed your spiritual man what it needs to grow until a little bit of fruit pops out called love. And when that fruit pops out, it's there. You now have an attribute of love from God that you're walking in. And at the same time, you go over to the fake love on your flesh and you cut it off. That is mortifying. Mortifying is an instant. And my point of all this imagery is to point out why it's not instant. And to hopefully free you from the frustration of trying to be perfect the moment you're saved. But fighting to be perfect the moment you're saved. You don't have to get a word from God to say, quit lying. Because there's a word here. In Ephesians chapter 4, 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So here I am. I'm lying. And the word tells me to quit, so I try to quit. And you try. And someone asks you a real honest question. You blah, 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 you lie. Ah. You're leaving church and you go through a stop sign. The police pull you over. Did you go through that stop sign? You didn't see me stop? Or, you know, when they get the lights go on, you grab your seatbelt, click it on real quick. And did you have your seatbelt on? Well, yes, sir, I did. You know, and you just, there's your Bible laying right there. And you're like, oh, man, that lie just came out. It saved me $100, but... got to put that away. How do I put that away? By fighting it? Yes, you act holy as long as you have to. Acting is I'm choosing to be holy. I'm choosing not to lie, you know. But you're fighting it. See, you're like an actor. You're pretending to be someone that you're not yet. I'm acting holy. I'm acting holy. But there is a fruit of holiness that will come from your new nature to your spiritual body. You still with me? That will grow up like a tree. That's why it's called fruit out of Galatians, because it gives the imagery that a full-grown tree is what produces fruit. No one plants an orange tree and sits outside after 6 weeks and goes, stupid tree, where's my oranges? I got my juicer ready and my juice fast ready for you. Put the tree and planted it and no, dumb. I got the bad tree. You know, what are you going to do when you take your tree back after 6 weeks to the nursery and go, you sold me a dud tree, buddy. I need a tree that produces fruit. What are they going to tell you? It's going to take you time for that tree to grow before it can produce fruit. So do you act holy? Act holy. Fight everything in you. Fight to act like the word says you can be. Don't. It's when you quit fighting that you get into trouble. Fight, but the fight will wear you out to where you get so tired. You get so tired that eventually your flesh will win. How many know what I'm talking about? So act holy, but don't stay there. While you're acting holy, invest into feeding your spiritual man. Prayer, worship, the word. And what happens? That spiritual man begins to grow and mature, and you're putting on the attributes. Go ahead, put on another attribute for us there, Sean. He's praying in the Holy Ghost. He's praying in tongues hour after hour. He's meditating the word. He's obeying the word of God. He's obeying what the Holy Ghost tells him. He's confronting things when God tells him to. My daughter was, we were at a thing yesterday, and she came over. She goes, I want to go say hi to a friend, but she's around other people, and I'm a little embarrassed. Well, I won't let her live there. I said, no, you go say hi. Go get past your embarrassment and your shyness. You go face that and go say hi to your friend. No, I don't want to. I said, if you don't, no iPad for a week. I started to threaten her. Using my dad powers. I'm going to take away your money. You're losing everything. You're going to face this fear. I know some may not agree with this tactic, but so eventually she walked over and said hi. Came back and said, see how easy that was? Face those things. See, the Holy Ghost will do the same to you. You pray after a while, and you added, what attribute did you add there, Sean? Ooh, Sean added kindness. All of a sudden, he's able to be kind, not acting kind. I'm choosing to act kind to you today. Today, you're in luck. You sit in the right seat. Look under your seat. There's a ticket. Ticket 101. Yay, winner over here. Today, I get to be kind to you. I'm choosing to be kind to you. You took my parking spot. I'm choosing not to be kind to you. But you, I'm choosing to be kind. See, but when it's a fruit, the only way that you have a fruit of kindness is you begin to mortify also the part of you that is able to be unkind from your flesh. When it's a fruit, you don't have a choice. I'm kind to you. And the guy that took my parking spot, kind to him too. I can't help myself. Because it's who I am. So when you read the word and you read something like, do not lie, and you go, I have a problem with exaggeration. You know, all preachers kind of have to go through that. I caught a fish this big. I had 20,000 people. You know, like the churches. I love the churches who put on their post. We have 10,000 members. And you go to the churches, only, you know, they only have 500 chairs. Well, how do you have 10,000 members? Well, everyone who's ever come to church over the last 20 years, we consider them a member. And every service is counted as a crowd, so we kind of double. If you come to three services, you count as three people. And we have 10,000 members in our church. You know? That's a lie. And you have it on your website. Because truth many times will cost you. But when it's all that you are, you're willing to pay the price. Yes, officer, I did not have my seatbelt on. Okay, here's your ticket. Yes, sir. I'll take it like a man. Give it to me. Because it's impossible for you not to. This is the process of maturing and growing that you and I are involved in. So as you pray, as you fast, what happens? You fasting deals with your flesh. But the worship, confession of the word, the meditating of the word, the praying in the Holy Ghost builds up your inward man. Praying in tongues builds up that spiritual body that's like a child. And you begin to build it up and build it up and build it up. See, I'm not focusing on getting rid of things as much as pouring into that spiritual body nutrients so it'll grow. And as it grows, you'll find that you'll have more authority. And the Holy Ghost will begin to push your button and say, now go do it. Face that. Maybe you're shy and used to being shy and made a whole doctrine of why it's okay to be shy. No, it's okay to be shy because I'm humble. I'm not timid. I'm just humble. Let me close with this. Say you run into someone who's sweet to everybody. I mean, sweet as sugar cookies. Always sweet. Nice to everybody. See, they're as trapped as a person who has anger. Because of fear, they won't stand up for themselves, or they won't stand up for truth, or they won't stand up to give you what's best. So If I come to you and I'm wearing a big sign that says alcoholic, and I say, hey, am I okay? Well, I know you beat your wife last week, and I know you're not working, and I know you're getting drunk and getting angry, and I know you're this and that, but oh, you're just you're good. Jesus loves you. I love you. See, you didn't tell that person what they needed to hear. Yes, Jesus loves you, but you need to start conquering this. It's not okay for you to run out and do this and do that. See, a sweet person can be just as much in bondage as an angry person, because they can't be unsweet to someone who needs a good kick in the rear for what's best for them. See, that's bondage. So you're a sweet person, all of a sudden God says, well, the Holy Ghost begins to tell you, I want you to stand up to that person. But they're going to hate me. I don't want anyone to hate me. Apostle Paul had no problem calling people out. He had no problem naming names. Telling them they're not for God. May God judge them. You can love. Love isn't always sweet. Sometimes it's strong. It's what's best for that person, not what's best for you. So you may be sweet, sweet, sweet as can be in you. I had one lady come to me. She said, I'm just so tired. She was 50-some years old. I'm just so tired of everyone telling me what to do. Everyone tells me what to do all the time. All the time, everyone tells me what to do. I'm just so tired of it. I'm so tired of everyone telling me what to do. And I said, do you notice that no one comes and tells me what to do? Do you know why? Why? Because I won't do it. I said, I hate to be the person who comes and tells you what to do the day you realize that you don't have to do what they told you to do. You may end up hitting them over the head with a frying pan, saying, no, bam. See, you can be trapped in that too. But if you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Lord will begin to help you to build up your inner man and put to death the outward man, that you'll begin to mortify it. Mortification is when you finally get to cut it off once and for all. You kill the source within your natural soul that says you need this. You overcome it. Now, you know, I get in trouble with some of the inner healing type talk that says you got to heal the natural soul. It may just be semantics. So they call it inner healing. I call it putting to death, mortifying. As long as you're not coddled in that natural soul, poor baby, poor natural soul. No, go in there with a sword and cut it. You can call it inner healing. I'll call it mortification. But you kill the part of your natural soul that says, I need this. And how do we mortify it? Through our spirit. We take the time and we invest hour after hour praying in the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost teaching us who we are, who we are, who we are, who God is. You meditate the Word of God, and you may be struggling, you may be fighting, but there will be a day where you'll be able to take a sword, take a big scissors, and cut that off and be free from it. And then he'll go after the next one. But it doesn't just fall off. You have to put it off. Praying tongues does not do the work for you. I thought I just pray in tongues and like a ninja sword, my tongue would flap around and whack everything out of the way. Just shandara baba sandara bako sandara. Oh, there's anger. Shandara baba, there's jealousy. Cut. I thought that's what tongues did, but tongues brought me to a place where I was defeated before and put courage in me and strength in me and built me up, not like a balloon being filled with air, but built me up as a child growing stronger to finally look at that thing that beat me up so many times and say, I'm done with you. I'm killing you. I'm tired of you telling me who I am, because the Word of God says I don't have to be like that. And that's when you decide. And don't be confused when you go through a test, not from the devil. I'm talking about a test where God allows you to walk through a circumstance where you have to fight that thing or give in to it. That's when you kill it, during those tests. All right, I'm going to close there. Amen. God bless you. I hope you're getting this. You are released. God bless you.